Welcome to the Arlene Pelicane Podcast. How would you rate the romance factor in your home? 10 for red hot or 1 for fizzled and frazzled? Well, physical touch and intimacy are so important for a husband and wife, but how does one stop and gaze in the candlelight in today's busy world? Find out in part 1 of my message, It May Only Take a Spark, But My Matches Are Wet. Well, you're about to listen to a talk that I gave to a MOPS group. MOPS stands for Mothers of Preschoolers. Whether you have young kids or not, this can come up in your marriage. So I hope that this talk will help you get back to being romantic with your husband and bring back those feelings of love that you had perhaps when you were dating. Remember that? So today's talk is going to take us back to those early days with our husbands. So let's get started. You know, a lot of times in moms groups, we talk about what? Our children. And we should, because they're awfully important. That's why we're here. But someone who sometimes gets left out of the family equation is who? Dear old dad. The talk is called, It May Only Take a Spark, But My Matches Are Wet. So it may feel like, man, you don't need much for romance, but at the end of the day, when your sweet husband looks at you and you're just thinking like, oh, dear Lord, help him to fall asleep. And he looks at you and he's just like, you know, honey, you know, interested in, you know, making love tonight? And you're like, well, am I supposed to be honest here? Am I supposed to say what I think I should be saying? You know, it's something that we are all, a situation we find ourselves in, and it's a reality, particularly in marriages when you have young children. And because we're all in this room together, we have young children. I have an almost 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old, and we were listening to the Sesame Street CD. It was something like, let's go to an Everything in the Wrong Place ball. So I thought to myself, you know what, this is just a very average day. Let's have a little fun tonight. And I told the kids, let's dress crazy tonight for dinner. So just everything in the wrong place. So just get dressed however you want to, everything in the wrong place, and we'll go to dinner this way, you know, at home. And I told my husband, too, let's do it. We're all going to do everything in the wrong place. So everybody headed for their rooms. You know, it was very exciting. So Noelle, our 4-year-old, she's an expert at this. So she got her pants on backwards. She got her underwear on her head, her bathing suit on her head. She got her necklaces around her ears. And she's just super, like a real goobery girl anyway. So she's just like, I'm ready, you know, I'm ready. And then Ethan, our second grader, he put all his stuff and he thought he was so funny. He's got like all these tickets from church. So he took all these tickets and he like put them all around his body. Well, James, my husband, he kind of dropped out of the picture. I didn't know what happened to him. I figured, what's going on? A few minutes later, he emerges from the bathroom. So he had been in the kids' bathroom the whole time. And he's got shorts on. And he's bare-chested. And he's got diapers all along here like he's Rambo, like he's Dad Rambo. So he had diapers all along like a sash here. And then all diapers along here like his little ammunition belt or whatever, all diapers. And he came out of there. Everybody, you know, everybody laughed and laughed and went crazy. Oh, look at Daddy. He's got all of Lucy's diapers. He looks so funny. He looked like this Rambo. And I thought to myself, is this what a grown man has to do to get attention around here in the house? So we thought, oh, my goodness, this is hilarious. And, you know, sometimes our dear husbands, that's just about what they have to do to get a little bit of attention around the house. They've got to dress up different. They got to send out a flare. You know, hey, I need some help too. And my husband, James, is so great because I don't know how many of you guys know if you've got a husband like this. He is not afraid to tell me when he needs something. You know, some men, they're going to hem and haw and they're going to be a little bit reserved about telling you something. But my sweet James, he's from New York. He's Italian. He will tell me when he needs something. And it's really been a gift because sometimes we as women, even though we're so intuitive, there are a lot of things we miss when it comes to our husbands. So I want us to go back. You know, it may only take a spark, but my matches are wet. And I want you this morning to go back on a journey of remembering what lit the fire in the first place with your husband. What was it about him that drew you to him? What was it that you loved about him? What caught your eye? What made your heart pitter-patter? You know, I was the one who was like, Lord, will you ever send me a man? And, you know, when you look back now, it seems like, oh, that was such a short time. But when you've graduated from college, when you've worked for 4 years, you don't even have a date in sight, you wonder, right? You wonder, where is this man? Where is he hiding? Well, mine was hiding at graduate school, so I went to grad school. And this guy, James, he flipped my hamburger. And at that time, that's not when my heart was sold, but that was the introduction. And at graduate school, there was this outreach where once a month, graduate students would pile in a van and go to the nursing home. And we'd sing and tell stories to the residents in a hall, and then we'd go with them to their rooms and then continue to talk with them. Well, James and I were both in the van going to that, and we'd start talking, and we became really good friends. Well, I immediately was like, wow. And he gave the study one night. He was the one talking. And as he was talking, I was like, Lord, I really want to marry this guy. And he was like, man, it must have been a good talk. You know, all the residents are like falling asleep. And I'm like, sign me up. I want to marry this guy. Well, we women, sometimes we are a little bit, you know, more on the ball than the guys take a little bit longer. So for a full about year and a half, I was like, oh, you know, like, planning our lives together, you know. And we were really good friends. Have you been there? Really good friends. He would tell me, he would say to me on the phone, he'd say, oh, you want to go usher for Godspell? You know, I can usher and I'd love to take you, but you know, it's totally platonic. I'm like, okay. Whatever we did, he would say, it's totally platonic. And the two of us would go to a group thing or go to a friend's house or go to a play or whatever. Well, after a while, I understood that totally platonic really did mean totally platonic. And at the time, when I finally released James and thought, like, okay, this is not working, because I mean, every time he came into the room, I was like, oh, you know, hot, you know, butterflies. It's just, oh, James, you know, I was just, oh, beside myself. And finally, my dear mom said to me, Arlene, because I call her, Mom, he did this for me. What does that mean? Like, you know, he brought me water. Like, we were also in a Toastmasters. He brought me water. We were in a Toastmasters group where you do public speaking. And he'd bring me water. I thought, oh, why would he bring me water? I mean, he must have feelings for me if he's bringing me water, you know. And she told me, don't assume anything unless he tells you, you know, like, I want to date you, or, you know, let's go out. Or if he brings you flowers. So he's like, those are the things you should look for, Arlene. So remember this for your daughters. He tells you or he brings you flowers. Just think of all the misunderstandings, you know, that could clear up just right there. So finally I thought, okay, this is not working. Well, finally, dear James gets the memo. He was going to take me out to our special place, Dairy Queen, for... for the blizzard, because we'd get these coupons, you know, buy one, get one free blizzard in the school paper. So we were going to go to our place, get our blizzard, and he would proclaim that he wants to date me. But then the librarian, God bless his soul, an elderly bachelor, and he said to James, no, 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 James, you don't take her to Dairy Queen. If you're going to take her somewhere to tell her you want to date her, you take her somewhere nicer. So, I mean, you know, we went to Outback Steakhouse, which was a lot nicer than Dairy Queen, let's say, for this memory. So we went to Outback Steakhouse, we had our dessert, and he was wearing a blazer, East Coast, they wear blazers all the time. So he had his blazer on, and he takes out of his blazer two flowers, ding, 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 the flowers, you know, it's like, woo! And he takes out the yellow rose, and he says, we have been friends for so long, and I'm so glad that we're friends. And then he takes out the red rose, and he says, I want to see if there's anything more, and I'd like to court you, I'd like to date you to see if we're the ones for each other. So he texts out the roses. So now I know, like, this is good. We're on the same page. And you can imagine, from that moment on, that was in March, we were like inseparable. And now we've been married 12 years. So fast forward the tape. 12 years. Great marriage, solid relationship. We're very compatible, so we don't argue. We, like, you know, like, in terms of thoughts, values, we're very similar. Our personalities are different, but how we handle situations, how we want to parent, all those things are really similar. So we don't have a lot of waves in our relationship. So we're going forward, all is well. Well, we teach this young marrieds class, and this was, I think, about a year and a half ago. So here we are, the sage teachers, right? Married 12 years, speaker, author, my dear husband, you know. And we look out at the young marrieds, and they are like there is not like one speck of space in between the husband and the wife, right? They are sitting next to each other, and they're like, oh, honey. And they're like talking to each other, and they're holding their hands, or they've got the one hand on their knee, or they're connected, and they're, oh, honey, oh. And they're, you know, laughing at each other, talking. And we're looking like, wow. So we're looking at each couple is like this to some degree. We're looking. And then I think to myself, James and I, we were in chairs like you're sitting in. And our chairs had like 2 feet of space in between us. And we're doing the class. And I look over at James and I'm like, maybe there's something that we're missing here. So we realize that although we were very happy, although there was nothing wrong in our relationship, that we had lost the touch and the affection and the romance. And those things are very easily lost when you're holding a 2-year-old's hand, when you're carrying a 4-year-old because she's tired to walk, when you're trying to get all the kids in bed, all that is so easily lost when those things happen. So we realize, man, we've got to do something. Well, God always has his hand on our lives, doesn't he? And he brings the right people and the right books and the right ideas to us when we need them. And at that time, we had picked up a book by Dr. David Clark called Kiss Me Like You Mean It. And it's Solomon's Crazy in Love Guide to, keeping it alive, something like this. But it's Kiss Me If You Mean It. And they talked about all these kisses, And he said, there's the poofy kiss, where you just, and then there's the peck, and then there's just a sound effect kiss, But he challenged, do you use these kisses? And I'm thinking, man, we don't really kiss that much at all, Think about it. If you really, really kiss your husband, not about making love or anything, but just regular kissing. And I realized, wow, no, this is very funny because my next book is 31 Days to a Happy Husband, and it comes out next summer. And so for it, I interviewed the same psychologist, Dr. David Clark, and a whole lot of other people, including Dr. Cliff and Joyce Penner, who wrote the classic book, The Gift of Sex. And this was a book I was given upon marriage that perhaps maybe some of you were given as well. And they, all of them, the psychologists over and over and over told me that one of the keys to keeping the fire burning is kissing, is regular kissing. But what happens to us as women? We think, oh no, don't you kiss me, because if you kiss me, that means we're making love later, and I know that I have to answer my emails, I've got to bake the cupcakes, I've got to sew the costume, and I've got to get everyone in bed, and then I've got to hit the gym in the morning, so there is no way we are doing that, so don't even think about kissing me. All that goes on in your brain just with your husband just leaning over, and you're just like, just run away, no kissing. So what they really encourage, and I'm going to encourage you guys to do the same, a husband and wife to do is to talk about this and to say, we need to make kissing more of a part of our relationship, and that kissing doesn't always lead to sex. So we're just going to kiss for kissing's sake. So it takes the pressure off the woman to think, oh, we're kissing. What does this mean in my time and my energy levels? What does this mean for me? I've got to shave. I've got to do things. What's going on here? So that helps us to know we're just kissing. It's no big deal. All we're doing is kissing. And what happens wonderfully is as you do keep kissing, just throughout every day kissing, then you want to have more sex because you feel more connected to your spouse. So I have a mentor mom in my life who has 5 children, and they're mostly grown now. And she and her husband, Don, even when her kids were real small, think of it, 5 kids, homeschooling mom. When they're all small, she would have once a week, daddy and her, they'd know it's date night. And what that meant was the kids got their dinner, and then the kids all watched a movie, or all, usually it was a movie. It was like their movie night. And then mommy and daddy, they had like a little candlelight dinner by themselves in another room. And then depending on how long that movie is, try to fit in. But the point is, they made time for romance all the time on a regular basis. Every week it was planned that, hey, we're going to have mommy, daddy, a very sweet romantic time. Now, once a week may feel like, oh, how could we ever do that? So I would challenge you once a month that you say, and if you can't do it with a babysitter where you're going out for date night, then have it in and be creative. And you know what? The first time, it might be a 5-minute date. It might be like, well, we tried, but they came in. But they'll learn. They will learn. Do not give up on it. So that's something to try at home. So they always kiss, Don and Lori, this couple. They say, oh, yeah, every day, we kiss for at least, 5 seconds. And when you think about it, this is not just a peck. This is like you're really going to kiss. So even if you walk out of this door and the only thing you do different is you make a commitment in your heart that if my husband and I are home together today, we are going to kiss for 5 seconds, at least 5 seconds. You want to kiss more, you kiss more. But talk to your husband about this. Say, hey, I was at my MOPS group, and the speaker really encouraged us to be more romantic, and I would just really like to kiss more. But if I kiss you, though, it doesn't mean like, baby, I want you now, like get in the bedroom. Like, this is not what it means. It just means I want to kiss more. I want to be more affectionate. And if it does mean, baby, I want you more, I'll let you know. You know? So let your husband in on it, because you're going to kiss him, and he's going to be like, woo, let's go, baby, you know. So talk about it. And do you think your husband, this is a nice conversation to have, isn't it? This is not about bills. This is not about schedules. This is not about your son putting something in his nose. You know, this is like, honey, I really want to kiss more. I think most men would really like that. And the truth of the matter is, we would like it too. So I want to encourage you guys, kiss more. Kiss often and kiss more. Genesis 2, 24 and 25 says, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, we're moms. We've had babies. Sometimes when we're naked, that's not really our happy place. So I had, in my 30s, I had 3 children, and then I lost 2 to miscarriage in a matter of about 7 years. And so it was like pregnant, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, you know, with the weight, working on this. And it's hard. It's hard as ladies. You know, the men don't get all these changes that the women do in having babies. Although you can say it secretly in your mind. When you gained weight, your husband probably gained some weight too. And then when you lost the weight, your husband probably got motivated to lose the weight too. So in one way, they're up and down with us. But one thing to remember is that your husband is not, he wants, I think we get really self-conscious about our bodies, and our husband, I think, is more attracted, from all the men that I interviewed for the Happy Husband book, they are attracted to the freedom that the woman feels when making love, or the confidence that the woman has, that those things are more interesting and erotic to him than her waist size or her arms or her legs, you know, that it's more that free attitude of, honey, I'm yours, and honey, I want to be here. I mean, how many of us have been like, yeah, we're here, but we don't want to be here? And we think if our bodies move a certain way, that's like, that's fine to him. He knows. He knows when our hearts are there and when our hearts are not there. And it's so important to present to our husbands our body fully 100% his for us to share together without, you know, and it's hard. Sometimes, you know, my daughter, I write in this book, when she was 2 years old, we went to SeaWorld, and she looked at herself in the bathroom mirror from head to toe, and she just stopped, and she said, good. And I was like, Noelle, did you just say good? And she said, Mom, I look good. And I was like, Noelle, you go, girl. Yeah, you do look good. I thought, what happens to us, you know, when we're 2? We look at ourselves, doesn't matter what we look like, and we say, good, yeah. And then we get our 20s, our 30s, our 40s, and we're like, oh, Lord, help us. Where's the makeup counter? You know, that things change. So for us, between God and us, to say, good, I'm happy with my body, I'm content with where I'm at, and I'm ready to give myself to my husband without all the hang-ups of wondering, like, oh, is he looking, is he staring at this? Is he thinking about my cellulite right now? You know, he's not. I wrote in an article, so what can a new mother do to overcome her disdain for her body and celebrate lovemaking with her husband, even if the lights are on? Remember that your husband loves you and your body. Dr. John Gray, author of Mars and Venus in the Bedroom, says, when a man is in love and turned on by his wife, he is totally entranced by the feminine beauty of her body, regardless of where the media would rank it on a scale of 1 to 10. We're bombarded with the magazines, with TV, with our friends, how our friends look, all these things. And our husband is not comparing us on this scale at all. We are beautiful to him. That's why he picked you. That's why he chose you. Willard Harley has a wonderful book called His Needs, Her Needs. And he talks about the 5 top needs of men and the 5 top needs of women. His Needs, Her Needs by Dr. Willard Harley. It's excellent. And one of the needs for men is to have an attractive spouse. And we look at that and we're like, baby, you should love me how I am. Well, this is what Dr. Harley says about this. For men, what they say is, by calling for a wife to be attractive, Harley explains, I mean she should take pains to look something like the woman her husband married. When a wife watches her weight, dresses nicely, and does her hair, she meets one of her husband's most basic needs. And what this translates into is that when we get together here for MOPS, we dress, we put our makeup on, we comb our hair, and we smile, and we talk to our girlfriends. But sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I'm sure you guys don't do this, but when I'm home, and I know I'm home all day, I'm in sweats, I don't have makeup on, my hair is back, and I'm just kind of undone. And then I realized, you know, because I'm a stay-home mom, author, speaker, so I work from home, I'm at my computer all the time, you know, I'm with my kids, and I realized, well, this is the one person that's the most important person to impress in my life, my husband, and here I am, like, slacking for him. You understand what I'm saying? This doesn't mean that you got to go walking around your house looking like June Cleaver. You know, you don't have to have the pearls and be vacuuming in your best outfit, you know. But all it means is run a comb through your hair and put on some makeup and dress how you dress how if you were going to meet a girlfriend at the park. You know, be comfortable but look attractive. Does that make sense? And our husbands so appreciate that when we recognize, hey, that's an important need for you. I'm going to do my best to look my best for you. Well, when it comes to romance, what are the things that kind of, you know, this all sounds nice, right? You're like, okay, I'm going to kiss my husband. I'm going to remember how when we first fell in love and what that was like and what were the things I liked about. Okay, so remember, kiss, and do my best to be attractive. Don't be self-conscious in bed. Okay. But then that all sounds nice. But when you get home, it's the end of the day, you're not going to be thinking about those things. There are roadblocks that stand in a young mom's way between what we would like to have with our husband and what the day-to-day reality is.
Well, on the next podcast, we'll talk about those roadblocks to intimacy, those things like fatigue and time constraints. If you've got a friend who you think would be encouraged by this podcast, please share it with them. We'd love to invite more moms to listen in to the conversation. Thanks so much for listening. For more information, visit my website at arlenepellicane.com. I'm the author of 31 Days to a Younger You, No Surgery, No Diets, No Kidding. Remember, ladies, the best is yet to come.